Good morning and welcome back to the Smashy Business Show. I am Farah Bashir and joining me again.
And I'm Warat Ahmed.
And today we have, before we talk, let me give you a roundup of like the news that we're going to be talking about. Saudi Airlines will receive its first deliveries from $19 billion regarding Airbus order in 2026. And as well, Abu Dhabi's GDP is increased by 3.3% in 2024. And of course, you know, real estate rent prices are increasing. And in light of that, Al Marjan Island, with 12,000 residential and Iraq units have been sold out. It's amazing. It's a big number. But first of all, how are you, Ward?
I'm good today. How are you doing?
Well, all is good. All is good. Honestly, it was a good, very crowded morning for me, but I'm very, I would say, excited to have this conversation with you. Let's start with the Saudi Airlines receiving its first deliveries from $19 billion Airbus order in 2026. Now, we know, and I think you agree as well, we've talked about it several times, how Saudi Arabia has a 2030 vision, and it's working towards that. You know, we have seen tourism getting better, the economy is getting better, and as well, His Highness King Salman told or advised people to invest in oil in Aramco. So in light of that, I think, what do you think of the investment that they're doing regarding their airlines with $19 billion?
You know, Saudi taking flight with this historic $19 billion Airbus order, it sets the stage for an aviation revolution.
True.
You know, now that they have expanded themselves beyond oil, they're going to be a part of the aviation industry and a big part of it too. And you know, as you said, this will propel them towards their 2030 vision. And this ambitious move will not only modernize the fleet, but it will also position the kingdom as a superior power in the aviation industry.
I agree with you, and as well, in light of that, by the way, the kingdom is aiming to transport 330 million passengers annually, and as well have 250 destinations and attract 150 million tourists. I mean, I believe that, you know, aviation, as you mentioned, and all of that plays a huge role in tourism. Because people, when they are going to be figuring out, like, okay, so Saudi Airlines will allow us to transport from, to Sri Lanka, for example, hopefully. I think that would maybe cause people, or maybe urge people more to want to live there in Saudi Arabia, specifically with the fact that they are as well changing a lot of things. The other day, Rich and I, we were talking about how there will be environmental friendly living areas. Yeah. And they are attracting a lot of people from the sports community, which I think is really great. But from a business perspective, I think the Airbus as well orders a representative significant investment in Saudi's, as we said, future growth and competitiveness. And the new aircraft will help the airline increase flights and seat capacity.
Yeah, so it's really going to meet that rise for demand because, you know, now with everything that we've discussed with Saudi, because of how it's boosted its economy, a lot of people are going to be going to Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
And them, you know, them pushing for this initiative is going to be able to, you know, help with that and help people get to Saudi Arabia.
I agree with you. Like, if you would tell me a few years ago if I would move to Saudi, I would have been like, I don't know. But right now, a lot of people are actually thinking of moving to Saudi, and all of these things are contributed to the factors that have changed in the living that in Saudi. And as well, by the way, this deal is expected to create jobs, increase local content, and as well contribute, as we said, to the economy. So when they are actually providing like such services and they are increasing, as you said, their Airbus transportation economy and so on, they are not only telling people like, hey, you can come and live here and work here, but they are saying that, you know what, it's safe and it's different.
Yeah, I agree.
They are
with
assuring
you.
Yes, 100%. Well, speaking of growth and all good things, Abu Dhabi's GDP growth has it has grown over the years. We have seen that. However, it has increased 3.3% in Q1 in 2024, which I would say it is really brilliant, because over the years we have seen in Q1, yes, it grew in 2024 by 3.3%, but in non-oil increased by 4.7% during the same period. And the non-oil GDP grew by 4.7%, and the non-oil economy contributed 54.1% in the growth in 2024. So all of this will led to the 3.3% overall GDP growth in Abu Dhabi in 2024. However, if you look back at 2023, the growth was not as significant as the growth right now. It was like at 3.1%, and the non-oil economy grew by only 9.1% in 2023. So we have seen, like, if a growth is growing in a linear way and not just like a sudden growth, I think that's more sustainable.
I feel that to understand what this number means, we first need to define, you know, what actually is GDP. And GDP, it's the total market value of all the finished goods and services of a country, or in this case, a city. And really what this telling us is that the finished goods, the finished services of Abu Dhabi are performing great.
Exactly. And as well, by the way, like this as well does not just like reflect the success of the Emirates, but it as well reflects the success of the of Abu Dhabi's economy diversification strategies and its ability to navigate global challenges. Of course, we have seen the UAE, I would say, get back on its feet, stand up, rise up again after COVID. And this all just like, I would say, these are all good numbers for what has been happening. So what do you think of that?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. The fact that their GDP is growing by 3.3%, it means that they have a healthy economy, and it's only going to rise more from this.
Agreed. And as well, other sectors like transportation and storage grew by 14.4%. Telecommunications grew by 5.9%, and accommodation and food services grew by 6.2%. Now, if you want to compare this to last year the non-oil economy grew by, as we said earlier, only 9.1% on a yearly basis, with real GDP increasing by only 3.1%. Which I would say, like, you know, the fact that they grew that much with transportation, telecommunications, and food and food services, I think that, you know what, it's a very good, significant growth, which just shows me that if it has grown that much over the years, then by next year, I would expect even more growth.
Yeah.
Would you live in Abu Dhabi?
Would I live in Abu Dhabi? See, I've spoken to a lot of people about this. I've spoken to a lot of locals about it. And, you know, they always say that Abu Dhabi, it's the more quiet city than the UAE. And that, you know, the UAE, it's constantly populated. There's constant noise. But I think I love Dubai, you know. I've lived here since I was a kid. So, yes, I'm a Dubai girl.
I mean, I think, honestly, I have spoken to someone, and because I lived in Abu Dhabi for a few months, like last year, and I didn't really vibe with it.
Really? Why?
Yeah, I didn't vibe. I don't know, because like the lady told me, because I'm born in Dubai and because I'm raised in Dubai, so when you move to another city and another country as well, you will be like, oh my God, that's so different for me. And I know, yes, the growth is very significant in all of the Emirates of the UAE, including Dubai, Sharjah, Ras Al Khaimah as well, which, by the way, keep in mind, because we have something about Ras Al Khaimah coming up very soon. Ras Al Khaimah, of course, you know, like, it just like it gets, I would say, more better and more efficient to live in. Yeah. And when you move to other countries or other cities, you are so used to the, I would say, the lavish lifestyle that the country has provided for us. And of course, with the GDP growth, I think that the lavish lifestyle will grow as well, because the we know that the UAE's GDP contracted by 4.96% in 2020 due to COVID-19, the pandemic that happened. It affected a lot of businesses. It affected the market, the economy, and the list goes on and on. And as I mentioned earlier at the beginning of the story, is that the UAE as a whole got back on its feet in no time. So this just like shows me, you know what, it just like took this negative thing, moved on, work towards improving and getting better, and they did, and look at their GDP right now.
Yeah.
It just shows me that, you know what, they are going to be providing more services and more facilities for residents, whether you live in Abu Dhabi or Dubai, of course. But our focus right now is Abu Dhabi. So you guys, you know, don't, like, this will provide, I would assume, you know, more jobs and more successes, because it's as well driven by the expansion of its non-oil sectors, as you said earlier from our first story, is that they are not looking at their success with oil. They're expanding it, which is why they are very successful, I would like to say. Well, speaking of that, you guys, we talked about real estate yesterday, and we know prices and rent are increasing. People are now, if you thought that you would move to Sharjah because you want to save up, Sharjah rents are as well increasing, and people are thinking of, oh my God, where should I invest? Where should I move? And in light of that, in Ras Al Khaimah, Al Marjan Island is with 12,000 residential units have been sold out. And this is, of course, said by the Marjan CEO, Ark Abdullah Al Abouli. Would you invest in Ras Al Khaimah? Do you think it's a good investment? Because, like, right now we know that prices in real estate is really going up high.
I personally wouldn't invest in Ras Al Khaimah because my family is based in Abu Dhabi and Dubai. But the reason why I think that Al Marjan Islands is a really special project is because of the fact that it's really going to help to distribute the population evenly across the UAE. Mm-hmm. You know, previously we discussed how in the UAE, there is an issue with there being an increased population.
Yeah.
The roads are getting busier. True. There is insane traffic.
Yes.
I think the fact that, you know, those 12,000 units have been sold out, it means that this is going to help with the population congestion in Abu Dhabi and Dubai. It's really going to reduce the population there and have people explore, you know, the natural beauty of the mountains in Ras Al Khaimah.
Well, hear this. This might change your mind, because developers are working on community development projects that will serve as the downtown as well as a new lifestyle destination on the mountains. Wouldn't you want to live on the mountains? And of course, this is not my words. This is the senior official. He said that. Wouldn't you want to live on the mountains and just like have like a beautiful house on the mountains or like a getaway house?
Of course I'd want that, but I believe in this specific case, people will move there because they're going to get a bit of the suburbs, but they're mm-hmm. going to also get something that's, you know, something more nature-like. So they're going to get the best of both worlds.
Well, I agree, because as well, Abdullah Al Abdouli, CEO of Al Marjan, the master developer of the freehold properties in Ras Al Khaimah, said 15,000 hotel keys and 12,000 residential units are planned on Al Marjan Island. So we might think of it as like a very far place to be at or live at. However, I think honestly that it oftentimes we do tend to maybe not focus much on what CEOs or developers do tell us, and then we go like, okay, well, it's time to rent a house there, and then the prices are going to increase. But speaking of that as well, Al Abdouli as well told Khaleej Times, Al Marjan Island is sold out, and we are now working on diverse projects because they want to make it the downtown of, you know, maybe Ras Al Khaimah. It's going to be a beautiful, I would say, community to live at away from Dubai.
I think it's a great project, but I also do wonder if all the locals in the country will be happy about it, that, mm-hmm. you know, Ras Al Khaimah, it's going to be developing into something more like a city with a downtown. Yeah. Do you think they'll be happy about it?
I honestly, I'm not quite sure. I cannot give you the answer unless we have every local, we interview every local. But, you know, because like we know that Sharjah and Ras Al Khaimah surged post-pandemic. We said that about the previous story. Of course, you guys, the UAE did an amazing job getting back on its feet after COVID in 2020. However, you know, Sharjah and Ras Al Khaimah both attracted both local and foreign investors. And in light of that, Al Marjan Island is comprising four islands with six operational hotels and is offering 100% foreign ownership, zero tax and long-term residency, which is very attractive to people who would be like, okay, you know what? It's like me telling you, you know what? Let's go live at the moon. Or like, you can now live in Mars, for example. You know what I mean? It's like, it's kind of like that. I think honestly, all of these projects contribute to increasing the GDP of the country.
I think foreign investors, you know, people who come from America, from the UK, people who in general have to pay taxes, mm-hmm. they will love this.
Of course, you can
buy an investment that, you know, without has zero tax.
I mean, this is an investor's dream, because we have mentioned on the show, Rich and I, a lot of times, you know, how like they are attracting, the UAE is attracting more than a lot of millionaires, right? A lot of millionaires, because I think that they just want to be increasing and their GDP and their economy, and they have a vision for 2030. So when we say 2030 for the UAE, we don't mean only Dubai. We mean the UAE, and that includes Ras Al Khaimah, Abu Dhabi, Ajman, Sharjah, Dubai, and which is like, honestly, and I think this project is still going to be contributing to the economy, because it will be attracting a lot. And as well, the major project, it includes Lamborghini Residence and La Mer by Elie Saab. If you have seen our Love and Rock page, I did post of Elie Saab wants to actually have a development done at Ras Al Khaimah. He is a fashion designer, and he is very known for his amazing and beautiful fashion designs, right? And in light of that, him having a development, I'm just like, I wonder what it will look like, how it will be, or who would maybe invest in it. I would invest, actually, in Ras Al Khaimah. Yeah, I mean, I would like a house that I can go to as like a getaway whenever I want to.
Yeah.
Right?
Something very like far away from the city, you know, the bustling city of Dubai. I feel like it would be more quiet there.
Yes, I do agree with you. Well, thank you so much for your insights, Wed.
Thank you today, Farah.
And thank you guys for tuning in. Well, this brings us to the end of the show. Don't forget to go on podcast form, and don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter if you want the news to reach you first on hand. Bye-bye. See you tomorrow.